Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt. We are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good, but I could use the blood of a young boy. Probably make me feel a little better.
It rejuvenates you.
Apparently it does. It works with mice, so why wouldn't it work with people?
Apparently there's people who do that. Rich and powerful people.
Well then, those are terrible people so far. Unless they pay well. If they pay well, you know.
Yeah, we got a good episode for you guys. Before we get started, iTunes, please rate, review, subscribe. iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. If you like the show, it really helps us out. Really helps new people find us. Obviously, suggest us to your friends, your other friends who like The Simpsons. This week's episode, Blood Feud, episode 7F22, originally aired July 11th, 1991. Strange midsummer episode. Not technically the season finale of season two, but the last episode of season two.
The last one aired, I assume. Maybe it was produced beforehand.
It was also lagging apparently behind schedule when they were producing it, so it went last. It led into a weird Melrose Place midsummer premiere as well. They were Fox was trying to do something, and it didn't hold because they don't do it anymore. It was written by George Meyer, directed by David Silverman. Finished 24th in the ratings for the week. Nielsen rating of 10.8. Second highest rated show on Fox after Beverly Hills 90210. First victory for Beverly Hills 90210.
Nothing about Beverly Hills 90210 should ever be considered a victory.
Oh, come on, Matt.
Teen dramas are terrible.
They're not teens.
Okay, they're playing teens.
They're not strictly. I don't know. Chalkboard gag, I will not sleep through my education, which I guess that's fair. Couch gag, couch falls to the floor after they all sit on it. It's good. It's fine.
It's creative. They're starting to work their way up.
Yeah. The episode begins with a nuclear alert system being put in place, like the opening of it. It's a very strange thing to have a crowd gather and celebrate.
Yeah.
But Mayor Quimby is there commemorating the sign that it cycles through the announcements, which is pretty funny. It finally gets to the
core breach. Repent sins.
Repent sins, and Homer and the gang make a joke. Like, if there was a breach of the core, it would all be... you wouldn't be able to see the sign.
Would be no power to the sign.
No, there'd be no power to the sign. Burns, strangely, is not there. Smithers is waiting for him, surprised he hasn't made it yet. Burns is apparently sick on the floor of his room. We find that he needs a transfusion. He has a fake disorder called hypohemia, where it's just lack of blood. He has a very rare blood type, double O negative, which is not a real blood type. But Smithers, of course, volunteers right away. Blood type doesn't match. Yet he still was able to donate a kidney?
I said the same thing. That's not how that works.
You can't do that if you don't have the same blood type. Generally, they go for family members. They have basically a blood drive at work. Smithers is, you know, trying to find someone to give them. To give the blood so that Burns can live. Lenny and Carl are making jokes like they hate Burns, and so they're why am I not giving Burns blood? Because I don't wanna. Yeah. That's what I believe Carl's line.
Yeah.
Homer is like, why are you so short sighted? He has tons of money. He's gonna give us money if we give him the blood. Obviously he'll reward us.
That's why you losers are stuck here.
And which at that point I believe Carl reminds Homer that he's a supervisor.
Which is kind of a little weird, because normally you don't hang out with your supervisor at bars, but, you know, sometimes, maybe.
If they're close enough. Sure. But we cut back to house. Maggie is being taught what the difference between a lemur and a zebu is by Lisa. It's really cute. There's multiple times in this episode where Lisa and Maggie are, like, having teaching moments.
Well, you know, Maggie needs to have all the advantages that Lisa didn't have.
Yes, and Marge is a little upset about that. Homer comes home. He's like, Marge, do any of us have double O negative blood? And Marge is like, yeah, Bart does. And Lisa is impressed by her knowledge. And she goes off on a long spiel about everything. She knows everybody. She knows Lisa's ring size, Homer's blood type, Bart's hat size. She's like, mothers know everything. And it's actually very impressive and shows like the Marge's unique skills.
Which we see that Marge is really smart. It's just the way she chooses to apply it.
She applies it strictly in mothering.
Yeah.
Once Homer finds out Bart has this rare blood, he's like, okay, you're going to give blood. Come on, let's go. And Bart's like, I don't want to. He's like, you know, in bed. And Homer's like, okay, you're giving blood because we're going to be rewarded. He's a very rich man. Obviously, he's going to give us something for saving his life. And he tells him the story of Hercules and the lion.
Which is a great story. Not one I remember from my childhood, but a good story nonetheless.
Bart asks in the Bible. Probably. But basically,
Hercules is a big character in the Bible.
Yeah, Hercules is in the Bible all over the place. There's a lion, has a thorn in his paw. Hercules pulls it out and gives him a big thing of riches.
Yep, a thing of one riches, please.
They take Bart to the blood bus. Otto works at it.
He's a blood driving tech dude.
Yeah, which is not too far from the truth, guys. People who work blood buses are the beginners. But Bart gets his blood drawn. They throw it like a fire brigade through the hospital, eventually getting it to Burns. He gets the blood, and it's a really cool kind of scene where you see the transformation of him like instantly. And we have this clip, and we're gonna play it for you.
We're ready with the transfusion,
Smithers. I'm not going to make it. I want to dictate my epitaph.
Go ahead.
Charles Montgomery Burns.
Mm-hmm.
American.
Mm-hmm.
And patriot. American patriot. Master of the atom. Scourge of the despot. Oh, tyrant, hear his mighty name and quick! Smithers, I'm back! Oh, top of the morning to ye. Wait, look who's here. It's good old you.
Hi, Mr. Burns.
Oh, hey there, Mr. Brown Shoes. How about that local sports team?
Mr. Burns, he's okay.
Jackpot!
Burns kind of shows that will and gravitas that's made him so successful and powerful. As he like recovers his power, the blood of Bart coursing through his veins, he comes back to work. He's happy. He's skipping through the plant. He has on his like athletic garb,
his tennis gear.
Yeah, his tennis gear, which he's also playing high lie in. Doesn't know anybody's name.
Well, you know, he don't really need to. He's the boss.
Of course, why would you want to know everyone's name if you're the boss except to inspire leadership and, you know, show your employees you care? He decides to send a card to the family. Homer is anxiously awaiting for this card. He gets it. He's happy. He summons the family out in the yard so all the neighbors can see. He wants Lisa to do something to make it seem special, so she turns on the sprinklers. Just wonderful. I love it. The card, he's like, okay, it's not very heavy. Let's see. Maybe it's just a check. And then he opens the card and there's nothing in it. He's like, maybe there's a location and it's just a thank you. A very simple thank you card. Which honestly, he's not really obligated to do anything. And a thank you card is pretty much what you'd expect. I mean, you're not gonna...
I don't know. He is a rich guy.
If you're a normal person... I would expect the thank you card.
Yeah.
If I had purposely donated blood to save someone's life that I know relatively well, but I'm not close to. But Homer obviously is very mad. Marge voices what I just kind of said, and that you really shouldn't be expecting money. Homer decides to write a letter to him. With Bart writing it, Homer... dictating. Dear Mr. Burns, I'm so glad you enjoyed my son's blood and your carb just great. In case you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic. You stink. You're a senile bucktooth old mummy with bony girl arms and you smell like an elephant's butt.
Read that back
to me. So, yes, read that back to me. Homer is marching down to the mailbox, the big clunky one. And Marge is with him, like, trying to convince him. Just sleep on it. Just wait. You'll be fine. And finally, she does with a thing with her hand.
Yeah, I'm not sure what thing he's referring to. I guess just touching his hand?
Yeah, she just holds his hand and says, please, Homer, for me.
Aww.
And he's like, all right, that always works. Homer has a nightmare that night. It begins with him angry at Burns, trying to shake money out of him. And then it morphs into him eating pancakes,
pancakes.
And the pillow. Bart, first thing in the morning, marches down to the mailbox and throws it in. Homer is pouring. He's like, thank you, Marge, for stopping me. He is appreciative of that. But he can't find it. He's like, where is it? And eventually Bart walks in. He's like, okay, Bart, when's the last time you saw it? The last time I saw it was in my hand as I put it into the mailbox. At which point, Bart goes crazy. Homer goes crazy, you know, angry at him. And Lisa and Marge is like, it's your fault. And it ends a very long first act. We go to commercial. They extended this. This is a much longer first act than episodes generally are. But commercial.
And when we come back, we see Bart and Homer trying to get the letter back out of the mailbox because it never occurred to them just to ask for it back or anything, I'm sure. So Homer tries to kick the box, and then he decides that he's going to shove a hose into the mailbox and flood it. And of course, Bart, being a young impressionable child, is like, well, don't other people have mail in there?
Bart, the voice of reason.
Which is scary. But the best part is Homer's defense. Oh, you know the kind of letters people write. Hey, so-and-so, how are you? Blah, 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 from some bozo you've never heard of. Nope, no one has bills or anything in there, Homer. Good try.
Yeah, I know. Gosh.
And of course, as he's doing this, he gets caught by the mail lady. And he actually asks her, you know where I live and everything, so there's no point in running, right? And she says, yes, of course. Well, I'm still going to run. And he hauls butt. Bart just kind of looks at the mail lady and then walks off quietly. Because they didn't actually end up doing anything wrong. So, not a lot she could do to them. So, then we move on to Mr. Burns and Smithers with a ghostwriter, Mr. Roman. Who apparently looks like John Lennon.
A little bit.
Just a tiny little bit. And Mr. Burns wants to tell the inspiring story of his struggle with hypohemia. Because it's inspiring for some reason to get the blood of a young child.
That's very inspiring, Matt. Come on.
So, of course, the first thing the ghostwriter wants to know is, has he slept with anyone famous? And before he is disgusted, Mr. Burns says, oh, well, there was this one time, and then we don't get to hear what it was.
It's unfortunate.
But at this, Mr. Burns is enraged and kicks him out and says, I'll write it myself. Because that's the kind of guy Mr. Burns is.
Yeah, with a feather quill.
Well, of course, he's got the inkwell and the quill, you know, just like Harry Potter.
Dong.
And then we cut back to Bart and Homer, who have showed up at the post office, and I said, "Oh, my name is Mr. Burns. I think you have a package for me."
What's your first name, sir?
I don't know. Which is in like three of the clip shows, I think. Yeah, great.
They include it. It's a really good joke. It's a good gag.
Okay, what's the dodecahedron thing?
Lisa's teaching Maggie. I just thought it was 12-sided die. I just thought Lisa's preparing Maggie for a future life of D&D and role-playing games with 12-sided die.
Everyone needs a 12-sided die. You can save yourself. Instead of having two six-sides, you can have a 1/12. It totally
works.
It's
for that. It's if you have a great axe.
Exactly.
One weapon, 1d12.
Of course. This is of course, Lisa teaching Maggie. Then we cut back to Mr. Burns writing his memoir. And, of course, he is scratching away, and we see him finishing it. And he thanks the reader because he had as much fun writing it as they had reading it. Because I'm sure it was incredibly wonderful, just like the Da Vinci Code.
You're insulting both the Da Vinci Code and Mr. Burns, Matt?
Yes, I am. Okay. Because the Da Vinci Code was terrible.
Oh, okay. I agree with you.
But anyway, we then see Homer start Operation Mail Take, which, great name there, Homer.
That's important. You got to name your operations.
That's true. We actually have a clip of this, and we're going to play it for you right now.
28 minutes till Burns comes in. Time for Operation Mail Take.
Can I help you?
Oh,
Oh, don't be frightened of this. It's nothing but a letter opener. Who are you?
Don't tell him. Give him a fake name. Homer Simpson.
Oh! Simpson, huh? Simpson! Why, there's a letter here from you. I'll just read it right now. Dear Mr. Burns, I'm so glad you enjoyed my son's blood, and your card was just great. Why, Simpson, you've made my day. You're a true gentleman.
Yeah, well, I'll be on.
Hello, there's more. In case you can't tell, I'm being sarcastic. You stink. You are a senile, buck-toothed old mummy with bony girl arms, and you smell like an elephant's butt.
Hey, come on, Joey. You have to twist my arm?
Homer, I don't tell you how to do your job, okay?
I could crush him like an ant, but it would be too easy. No, revenge is a dish best served cold. I'll bide my time until... Oh, what the hell, I'll just crush him like an ant.
So, of course, at the end of the clip, Mr. Burns is just furious with Homer and kicks him out of the plant.
Is this the first time we've seen his goons?
Yes.
Burns' goons? I think it's Joey is his name, I believe.
The hired goons.
Yeah.
Goons. Hired goons.
Yeah.
And of course, Joey kicks Homer off the property and he says, hey, Homer, I don't tell you how to do your job.
Yeah.
Which is great because obviously him and Homer know each other at this point. And that is the end of a very short act two.
Burns is is planning to fire Homer. Smithers has the pink slip ready to sign. Homer is home, sad, awaiting it. The eventuality. He's pretty sure it's inevitable at this point. Marge is like, we'll be fine. We always make it through. And he's like, it's fine. You guys can go live with your sisters. I'll die in a gutter. It's a good plan. Smithers and the aforementioned Joey have a meeting, so to speak, where he's like, wants Joey to beat up Homer. He's like, you know, Homer Simpson, yeah, we play poker once in a while. Okay, I want you to beat him brutally. That Smithers like, no kicks. Eventually, he works him down. It's like, he's not doing anything anymore. Like, Burns says he's finished his book, and Smithers at this point tells him, I didn't have Joey beat him. He called it off because he saved your life. Have this respect for him, just for that matter alone, regardless of what he said to you. You'd be dead without him. And I this is actually kind of similar to a Marge and Homer conversation from earlier about mailing the letter. I think it's really interesting that Smithers is Mr. Burns' Marge to a certain extent. Like, Burns is really fiery and angry here, but Smithers kind of talks sense into him.
Yeah, it's the first time I think we actually see Smithers stand up to Mr. Burns on something. And Mr. Burns, which is kind of weird for him because he's not usually one to see reason, he says, ah, Smithers, you've been the sobering yin to my raging yang.
Yes, and I don't know. I think it works in the fact that it goes against could become like a predictable pattern.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you make it so that Burns doesn't do what you expect, and then when he is villainous, which is generally, it seems a little bit fresher. We do get a prank call at this point for a Mr. Roach, first name Mike.
Has anybody seen my crotch?
My crotch? Yeah, it's a pretty good one. Homer's in the bar drinking. He's sad. Burns and Smithers are shopping. They're at the mall. Get a gift.
If this was a video podcast, we would have definitely included this clip because it's great. Yeah, but unfortunately, it's a lot of visual humor.
Yeah, a lot of visuals of the stores. There's one Sweet Home Alabama for all your Alabama needs. Two Cornball, which nice banjos, not bad. Banjos are hip now.
If you're a hipster.
You don't like Mumford & Sons, Matt?
I do, actually. I rather enjoy banjo music.
Okay, then. Bluegrass is good. But he even there's a Dr. Seuss reference in here about getting them a Zip-Zop-Zoopolis present.
Something like that, yeah. I can't
something
pronounce
along
it.
Those lines. Burns with a Dr. Seuss reference, which we'll get more later on. One of the many references in this episode. The stores in the mall are great. Eventually, they stop at Plunderer Pete's, which is apparently a weird explorer antique artifact relics from other cultures.
It's like Journey, right?
Journey? The band?
No, the show, the shoe store in the mall. It looks kind of similar.
Okay. Sure, Matt. Just like the shoe store.
It seems kind of, you know.
Okay. But we don't see what Burns is buying them, other than we only know that it costs $32,000. Which, that's an appropriate, that's a lot of money to spend on a gift, so. He, Homer's expecting the worst. He drives up to the house with a big truck with this giant crate. They get wheeled into the house. I don't know how they make
it. Yeah, seriously, they had to knock down a wall.
They don't ever talk about how it gets moved around, considering how big it is. But it's a giant crate. Burns gives them a copy of his book, which is Will There Ever Be a Rainbow? Which
is a great name.
I want that book. I want to read that. Well, I don't know why they haven't had someone write
that. I don't know why someone hasn't stolen that book title, because that's a fantastic book title.
Will There Ever Be a Rainbow? Bart gets a crowbar, which he's very happy with. Lisa's like, to open the crate, stupid. And he opens the crate, and it is a gigantic Olmec head. Extapalapel kettle.
That's right, kids. God of War. You know the Olmecs. They were before the Aztecs and the Maya. They occupied most of central Mexico.
Homer is confused, primarily. He's like, what does it do? Marge is like, whatever it does, it's doing it now. Homer's upset about it because it's not like just money or something they can necessarily use. Although that's something that big would be really hard to do. Like,
you have to keep it on the lawn. It'd be awkward to mow around it, you know.
But it's pretty cool nonetheless. Mm-hmm. You could resell it. I'm fairly certain you could get good money out for that. But Bart is emphasizing don't badmouth the head. Bart really likes it. It is his blood, so it's kind of like Bart liking Stampy. It's kind of that same thing. Like, it's just a big, weird thing that Bart likes. My favorite part of this episode is the ending. And we have pulled the clip for you, and here it is.
Save a guy's life, and what do you get? Nothing. Worse than nothing. Just a big, scary rock.
Hey, man, don't badmouth the head.
Homer, it's a thought that counts. The moral of this story is a good deed is its own reward.
Hey, we got a reward. The head is cool.
Well, then, I guess the moral is no good deed goes unrewarded.
Wait a minute. If I hadn't written that nasty letter, we wouldn't have gotten anything.
Well, Then I guess the moral is the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Perhaps there is no moral to this story.
Exactly. It's just a bunch of stuff that happened.
But it certainly was a memorable few days.
Amen to that.
So the episode ends with them trying to establish what the moral is. And then finally Homer's like, yeah, there's nothing happened. It's just a bunch of stuff happened, which is great. Like, I think that we kind of established the central conceit of The Simpsons early on, at least, was we are not television as you know it. We subvert television. And they play around with that a lot this season while trying to tell generally better stories. And I think this is a really great way to end season two, where they're like, yeah, there's no moral. Just a bunch of stuff happened. Because Marge is trying to put a bow around it. And the fact that they don't do that is really great. It's really fun.
The fact that she just can't.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason. He's like, well, it's really, and the fact they pointed out, that's the thing. They're like, yeah, whatever. Stuff happened. That's all it is.
Yep.
Overall, good episode.
Yeah, I honestly looked back at this episode before I watched it, and I was like, I don't remember this being very good, but as I watched it, it's really funny.
Yeah, that, like, the ending and especially the post office bit, I don't know.
Were you going to water the mail?
Yes. A serious offense.
Beat, but don't kick.
It's a really solid episode. It's going to be a tough one to rank, which we'll do at the end of the show. Next up, comments from the news group. Only one thing, really. This is in the summer, so there's a lot of people just kind of catching up with the show, trying to exchange VHSs of different episodes, which I think is interesting at this point that there are that you know the VHS tape trade is so ingrained with this news group because there's constantly posts about it. But an interesting article about The Simpsons and the Emmys. They didn't get a nomination for the second season, apparently. And James L. Brooks says, if Homer isn't deemed good enough to get an Emmy nomination, then some other stooge can hand out trophies. They say, we're only an animated show. We don't qualify in the comedy category. But every year they ask us to present. It's insulting. Have they ever actually been nominated for just straight comedy?
I don't know.
Individual achievements in animation. No, they have never ended up being nominated.
Wow.
Let me correct myself in the fact they did get nominated in the animated category the second season for Homer vs. Lisa in the Eighth Commandment, which won.
Well, I hope so.
They did not get nominated in the comedy category, which is what James L. Brooks' problem with was. Which, to be fair, I could at that point they had what was their competition? Not much. So some of the best comedies are animated, but I can understand James L. Brooks' frustration when they're sitting at the kids' table at that point. Next up, a segment that is what is the talk of the nation, I believe, right, Matt?
Yes, that it absolutely is. Everyone is talking about it.
Everybody. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge. I think that was my best comic book guy. Wasn't very good. But it's very simple. We are challenging each other with questions in easy, medium, and hard, and see how well we do. I am taking suggestions for questions from guys. I have a few of those to end the segment with. But first up, you started, didn't you not? Did I start last week? Did you start, Matt?
I don't remember.
I'll go first.
All right.
Make it easy. Easy question for you, Matt. You ready? Okay. Easy. This is easy. Who plays McBain, the fictional gun-toting cop?
That would be Rainier Wolfcastle.
You gotta say it like your announcer voice?
Well, he was on the episode of Springfield Squares, so, you know.
That's true. That's fair.
At the beach.
That's right.
All right. Are you ready, Robbie?
I'm ready.
All right. Your easy question. In the episode, Brother, Can You Spare Two Dimes?, what does Herb build that makes him his new fortune?
What does Herb build? He builds a baby translator.
That is correct. And all the moms love it. Yes. I want what the dog's eating. That's all you'll get.
Right. All right, man. You got ready for the medium question?
Ooh, I guess.
It's a little bit of a softball. I think it's an... I had to put it medium because I don't think it's an easy... easy questions, I think, non-Simpsons... diehards could answer.
Okay.
Easily. Medium questions, I would say a casual fan might have trouble unless they've seen that episode. What name does Milhouse give himself in the video game Bonestorm?
Thrillho.
Thrillho.
remember old school video games only have so many characters?
I know. I hate. There's still video games that do that. I don't understand it.
Okay, I know you want my name to fit on the screen, but come on, really?
It's not going to be 30. Just let me have 16 characters. That's fine.
Yeah, right? All right, your medium question, sir. In the episode of Mr. Plow, what does Marge ask Homer to wear when they snuggle?
The Mr. Plow uniform.
The jacket, but I'll give it to you.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
My name again, Mr. Plow. You ready for the hard one, Matt?
Ooh.
This is the hard one of my heart. I'm not sure if I can put difficulties on the listener questions. They're medium to hard.
Okay.
But this is my heart. Name all of Mona Simpson's aliases.
Oh, God. Mona Simpson, Mona Stevens, Muddy Mae Suggins.
You got two to go.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm not going to keep this any longer. I don't know the last two.
The last two are Penelope Olsen and Martha Stewart.
Oh, how could I forget Martha Stewart?
Wait, that was good. Yeah, that's not bad. You got three out of five.
All right.
That's not bad.
Fair enough. I got to start watching on a more hardcore basis, you know, for next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Your hard one today is not that hard. It's just one that made me laugh.
Okay.
In the episode Bart the Murderer, what drink does Bart make better than anyone else?
A Manhattan.
That is correct. Apparently, Legs just cannot make one. His is a flat, flavorless Manhattan.
That's good. So I've got two listener contributions this week. One I knew and one I did not know. Or at least one I thought I knew, but I had to look up to make sure, so I don't count it. And one I do know. So this is the one I had to look up to make sure. This is from Sean, ShawneeMac15, contributor to our listener questions quite often. What fictional state do the Simpsons live in?
What fictional state?
Obviously, many times they reference to living in many real states.
Yeah.
This is a fictional state that is, I think, in one or two episodes, they are also alluded to living in.
I have no idea.
Springfield.
Oh, that's right. Springfield is the state, the county, and the city.
Yes, yeah. It's like New York City. New York, right, New York. Right. That's, okay. It's, which I thought, and I think that's what he's going for. He did not give me an answer. But I think that's what he's going for.
Gotcha. Because
that's all the other states alluded to are real states.
Yeah.
This is from Rob, Rattrap 007. Who is Jeff Anderson?
Jeff Anderson?
Who is Jeff Anderson?
We're in a Jeopardy theme here. That's a tough one. Jeff Anderson.
It's appropriate for this week's episodes, for the two we recorded.
Oh, really? Oh, that's Comic Book Guy's real name.
Yes, it's Comic Book Guy's actual name, which he's always Comic Book Guy to me.
Yeah, that's kind of his thing.
Yes, but Jeff Anderson is his real name, so to speak.
We don't even find that out until way late, like
way
fairly recently, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, it's been it goes for quite a while before they actually ever name him. Yeah, you guys, I'm really enjoying this segment. Loving the questions you send in. I'll probably do one or two a show. I'm going to try and spread them out, but please keep sending them in. I love them. Again, you can contact us, Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Twitter is SimpsonsShowPod. Email SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. If you have any trivia you'd like to suggest, or even kind of suggestions for tweaks to this segment, I would like to hear them. So please send them in. Love to hear from you guys. It's always great. So Matt, you know what time it is, right?
Oh, no.
For this week, it is going to be tough. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part show where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where do we put this one, Matt? It's a stronger than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it really is. I'm definitely looking in the 10-11 area. I think I might definitely put it above Dead Putting Society, but Principal Charming was pretty good.
I would put this... that's tough. I want to say it's below Bart Get Hits by a Car and above Dead Putting Society, but anywhere in there, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I definitely like Old Money better, because that episode is just adorable.
It is. It's really not necessarily... I think this one's funnier, but it's not as touching for... although that... The post office gag and the ending really strong.
Yeah,
I really, really like it.
Definitely. It's very well paced. Even with the extra long first act, there's never a dragging down of anything.
No, it's a relatively tight episode, which I always like to see, which Old Money was as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would say put it above A Brother Where Art Thou.
I can definitely agree to that.
And below Old Money.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So, there you go, folks. We have a complete picture of seasons 1 and 2. Putting Blood Feud. It's a new number 9, right behind Old Money, right above Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. After season 2, Lisa's Substitute, I don't think surprising many, as our number 1.
Shocking.
Homer's Odyssey is our dead last place, number 34. Number 35, excuse me. So, before we close up shop, I did want to... What are your overall thoughts on season 2, Matt?
I really think season 2 and we've said this a lot, is way better than I remember it. Like, I always remembered season 3 is where it started to pick up and get really good. For some reason, I equated season 2 with being more like season 1 than it really was. I mean, season 2 is the first place where they really, the animation style is already incredibly solid. I mean, all the models and everything are what we would see from going on here. They start introducing all of their great gags with, you know, the Nelson laugh and the Mr. Burns stuff. And it all gets introduced in season 2 and just kind of ramps up from here. Overall, it's way stronger than I expected. I mean, Lisa's substitute, especially, to be fair, it doesn't even feel like it belongs in this season. It feels like it belongs in, like, the 4 or 5 of the classic pinnacle of the Simpsons seasons.
Yeah, I generally agree with you. It's very good. I think it's where we see the Simpsons find their footing, so to speak. Season 1 was definitely learning, and this is where we see, I think, with Lisa's substitute, and to a lesser extent Bart gets an F, truly great episodes. This is, I think, the first time we see that. We see the true potential of the show and really what the show's, what it is. I think it goes further and further in later seasons, but this is with, you know, the endings, the strange, like the endings of One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish, and Blood Feud, where it's, you know, the whole endings are gags, like, and they play with television so well, and a lot less episodes based on very, like, sitcom-y ideas. They're more few out there, like Grandpa talking to a ghost, and we see a Marge episode, I think, for the first time.
Yep.
This is where the show is becoming what we know as The Simpsons, and I would throw it in there with the classic, quote-unquote, seasons. Some people start it with 3, but 2 is really strong, and Lisa's substitute is great. No doubt about it.
Yep, honestly, like I said, normally I would have started it at 3, but now that I've rewatched all of these, I would definitely start it with 2, as the classics.
Yeah, when you're rewatching this and you're paying very close attention because you know you're going to have to talk about it for 45 minutes, you really look at it differently than you would. Yeah, best episode ever. You can find our list at our website. It's thesimpsonsshow.com, very simple. You can find links to our Facebook, our Twitter, RSS feed. You can contact us through the website if you'd like. Leave comments on the new episodes. Obviously, downloadable streaming. Donate to the show if you'd like. We'd obviously appreciate that. We're doing this strictly as a labor of love. Anything you can give to us helps. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at Mixmaster Cheryl. It's MixmasterCereal. Follow everything I do online there. And you can check out my comic book podcast, Hans Boys Comics Hour, at HansBoysComicsHour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. But if you somehow manage to embed nanoscale messages on the blood of the random people, I might find it for unknown reasons.
That's creepy. Next episode, Stark Raving Dad starts season 3. God. Michael Jackson. Yeah. Looking at season 3, wow. Yeah. Such good episodes. All of them. So good. So get those My Favorite Episodes submissions in. Final, good reminder, guys. With that, I think we can call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.